Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. For the past 35 years, communities across the nation have come together in August to observe National Night Out, a time to reconnect with neighbors and address safer, more secure communities. With so much news and information available now about crime and police-community relations, National Night Out is more important than ever. So what are you doing to make your community a safer place to live? We're talking about it. And my guests tonight are Lieutenant Ernest Stanley, Commander of Investigative Services with the Bowie Police Department, and Darius Baxter, community activist and co-founder of Good Partners here in D.C. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Want to hear from you tonight. Want to hear what you think about making your community safer. What kinds of things are you doing? What suggestions do you have? Certainly tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Lieutenant Stanley, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Good afternoon. It's great to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Absolutely. Darius, always good to see you, brother.
Pleasure to be here.
Lieutenant, let me start with you. Everybody wants to live in a safe and secure community. But just off the top of your head, what are some of the simple things that people can do to achieve that?
Well, National Night Out is you introduced it in the beginning of the segment. It's a great starting point to answering that question. We have a variety of community-based organizations and public safety information that we provide at our National Night Out event, and it goes a long way with just helping our community and our police department start sowing seeds of trust and partnership. And when we have that, we have a safer community.
When you talk about individuals, if you move to a new community, say you move to Bowie City, and you moved in this week, you've unpacked, and it's a nice warm summer day, and you are standing on your front porch, and you don't know a soul, what is the first thing that you would recommend that someone do to find out whether or not they can participate in making their community safer?
Well, one thing I would always suggest is go out and meet your neighbors. We live in a time and age now where a lot of things are done over the phone and over the internet, and, you know, through various different avenues other than going out and meeting your neighbor, saying hello and finding out who they are and what they do. And also, homeowners associations, they are great tools, to meet members of your community and find out what's going on, getting a good pulse of the community's problems and what you can do to help in the community to make it better. And also, in the city of Bowie, we welcome any visitors, particularly new residents, to come by and visit us at the police station. We'll always take time out of our day to give you a tour, introduce you to our community services team, and do the best we can to make you feel happy, safe, and comfortable in the great city of Bowie.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're having a National Night Out conversation. What are you doing to make your community safer and a better, more secure place to live in? If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call. So Darius, as an activist and as someone who kind of has his ear to the ground when it comes to community issues like this, what's your suggestion?
Looking at how, as a community, I think when we look at National Night Out, I think it's a good opportunity for us to be intentional in saying we're going to come together. I think it says a lot about who we are as a people in 2018, where National Night Out is such a big deal tonight. You know, I think, but we have to just take the momentum from tonight and just continue to build on that all throughout the year. You know, it doesn't take a holiday to say, let's go out and hang out with each other. Let me go say hello to my neighbor. You know, the old saying, let me go borrow a cup of sugar from the person next door. That's not just a fairy tale. That used to be a thing. But if somebody came and knocked on your door today asking for a cup of sugar, you probably look at them a little crazy.
You do mean sugar, right?
Yeah, sugar.
Right.
Domino sugar.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, we just have to, as a community, just a community of human beings, a community of people, we have to just continue to just be intentional and being together. Like, we are one people. There's more that joins us than there is that separates us. And especially in a time like this when social media makes us think that we're connecting, like, we have to make that extra step and actually join. Go out to lunch together. Offer to cut somebody's grass. You can offer to cut my grass. But
yeah. And you know, I think you make a really good point, particularly for newcomers to communities as you know, as people try to you know, take steps to buy homes,
yeah,
and to integrate themselves into communities. And when you see newcomers coming in, I know when I moved into my community, yeah, some 17 years ago, on the day that I was moving in, one of the neighbors up the street came down and introduced herself to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really gave me a feeling of warmth and immediate belonging. And she really kind of set an example,
yeah,
for the rest of the community. And in my community, I do know my neighbors, and we do look out for each other. But from a police perspective, I mean, safety, obviously, Lieutenant, is one of the critical things. What is your department doing when, for example, you do have newcomers in, or when you do have meetings? What are you encouraging for people to do when they want to make sure their community is secure?
Great question. I'm glad you asked me that.
Mm-hmm.
At the Bowie City Police Department, we have something called the Citizens Police Academy. We usually run it two sessions a year, somewhere in the fall and usually in the spring. The Citizens Police Academy is run by our community services unit, the best in the business in this area. And what they do is they basically pare down in a 12-week session, a mock police academy experience for the citizens. We take them through report writing, criminal investigations, community services, shoot, don't shoot scenarios. We have them ride along with officers working the stations. And what we found is that when we do that outreach with members of the community, we end up figuring out that they become family to us. They turn into volunteers for almost every event that we have. As a matter of fact, a good quarter of the staff that I have tonight working at our National Night Out are just folks from the community that, you know, became involved with us through the Citizens Police Academy or our Police Explorers program that we have for youth between the ages of 12 and 21 years old. So programs like that make it a lot easier for us to reach out, bring people in close, and let them know exactly what we do and form those partnerships very strong.
Certainly you're acutely aware of the tension between police and communities across the nation, particularly in African-American communities. What do these kinds of activities do to help address those issues?
This is a very interesting question because, you know, I tell people all the time, in this country there are 17,000 police departments in this country. And there are, wow, roughly 17,000 different ways that police departments are doing business. And I often equate it to that old saying that all politics are local. I also believe all policing is local. So a lot of times when we speak about police work in general and we paint a broad brush, sometimes I want to like narrow the focus to what is your police department doing in your community? What are they doing right and what are they doing wrong? And what I can say specifically for the Bowie Police Department is that we're a relatively new police department. We formed in 2006. We've only been around patrolling for the past 12 years. And one of the big things that the community demanded from us from the beginning was we want a community-oriented police department. We want to work with our police shoulder-to-shoulder, side-by-side, from the very beginning, and we want to foster that type of relationship with the police. And I think that we've strived hard over the past 12 years to provide that. And, I'm very happy, I'm very comfortable, and I'm very proud of the work that we do in our community and the relationship that we've had since day one with the great citizens of the city of Bowie.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're having a National Night Out conversation. 35 years of National Night Out now. What are you doing in your community to make sure that it is safe, that it is secure, that your home and your neighbors are feeling safe as they come and go? My guests are Darius Baxter, community activist and co-founder of Good Partners here in D.C. Also, Lieutenant Ernest Stanley, commander of investigative services with the Bowie Police Department. For you as a community person, Darius, kind of give me a few nuggets of what you believe people should do as they move beyond National Night Out.
It's looking at, like I said, being intentional and being just that, a community. I think you said something very poignant when you were talking about your own example. You used the term my community. After somebody came and just said simply hello and welcomed you, it became your community. Those right. are your neighbors. I think in today's age, there's so much moving around and there's so much fluidity amongst people that it becomes hard to take ownership over these spaces that we're inhabiting. And we have to understand at the end of the day, if you are living in a space, even if it's for one day, 1 week, 1 month, 100 years, that is your community. You have to consistently ask yourself, and I know I ask myself this every day, how can I make my community better? You know, I'm a millennial and I know we get a bad rep that we're going from place to place to place. But one thing that I think that our generation is constantly thinking about is how do we make these places that we inhabit better? How do we engage not just with the local bar or shop at the local restaurant, but also engage with the schools? How do we engage with the community spaces? What can we do to make sure that our parks are clean? Like asking yourself, how do I just take it a step further? How do I make this a place that when I leave, that it's better than how I found it? And that's how we're truly going to begin to rebuild communities. Like, yes, we like to make our apartments look nice in our houses and mm-hmm. put up our
fence. There's a millennial. He said apartments, right?
I took it back.
No, go ahead. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
But we're all working in this together. I think D.C. has done an amazing job. I know we have representatives from the city of Bowie, but when I look at D.C., I think about our government agencies, how they've forced all of us to kind of think a little bit bigger than ourselves and how we can constantly, from the Main Streets program to we have these business improvement districts, like all of these things to really get this neighborhood pride going, to think bigger than just, okay, I'm a D.C. resident or I'm a Ward 1, 2, 3, 5, 7, 8 resident, but I'm a member of the Noma community. Mm-hmm. I live in Georgia Avenue. Like, and to really begin to take ownership over those spaces, we see beautiful murals going up. I see the little kids walking down the street, holding on to the little ropes. Like, these are the communities that we're inhabiting, and D.C. is ever changing, and people are starting to grow. More people are coming from the outside, and kids are growing up here. But how we take it a step further is exactly what I said, Harold, and what you've kind of embodied is to begin to take ownership over the communities that we're living in.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Brian, calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes. As always, Mr. Fisher, I always love your topics.
Thank you so much.
For discussion. One of the things I think that we can do to improve our communities and the community that we live in, and I got to say that the lieutenant touched on almost every aspect there is. But one of the main things I think is to change our thinking. And the policing is very important. I mean, those of us born in the 60s and the 70s, the police was always the best friend. He was the person that everybody gravitated to. Now, there's, for some reason, there is a culture of people and communities gravitating away from the police. If there's a domestic dispute or domestic disagreement, when the police are called, the situation escalates dramatically, and normally it turns out to be a very, very tragic circumstances. And I think it would help a lot if maybe we could take a prototype of Bowie's police station and maybe send it all over the country.
Okay.
So that other police will understand that they are peacemakers. They are there to serve and protect, not to destroy.
Well, Brian, I appreciate your input and your passion about police and community relations. We are going to continue that discussion after the break. I do, however, want to thank Lieutenant Ernest Stanley with the Bowie Police Department for sharing in the conversation. And Lieutenant Stanley, I'm sure you're going to be participating in National Night Out tonight, but even beyond...
Don't have too much fun.
Right, but even beyond that, I just want to say to you, in your day-to-day job, be careful, be safe. All right?
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure to be on your show, and please invite me back sometime.
Absolutely. Lieutenant Stanley, thank you so much. I appreciate it. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk to Oliver in Capitol Heights. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about National Night Out. What are you doing to make sure your neighborhood is safe and secure? Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. The Quiet Storm is next on WHUR 96.3. We'll continue on Sirius XM. We'll be back in a bit.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are having a National Night Out conversation. 35 years of National Night Out. It's being observed all over the U.S. in neighborhoods big and small. It's an opportunity for neighbors and friends and people that don't know each other to try to get to know each other to make for safer communities. My guests are Darius Baxter, community co-founder of Good Partners in D.C. Also, we have with us D.C. Police Chief Peter Newsham on the line. If you have a question or if you have a comment, please give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Chief, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me on. How are we?
I'm doing fine, thank you. And I hope you're doing well. Talk to me first of all about what this particular National Night Out means to your department, particularly in the wake of the horrific loss of Makaia Wilson and others.
Yeah, you know, National Night Out, this is the 35th anniversary of America's National Night Out with the police. And the idea behind it is really developing bonds between the police and the community. You know, when I go to an event like this, I go to events like this all year round around the city. This one, thankfully, gets a little bit more attention so people can see, you know, what the police department is doing with regards to trying to build relationships. What I always urge people to do, if they really kind of want to get an insight into what our police officers are doing every single day, sign up for our Twitter. You can see our cops out there every single day doing things like we're doing tonight, enjoying our friendship with the community, building bonds with the community, and making it a better city. And, you know, you talk about the loss of Makaia.
Yes, sir.
That's the type of thing that, you know, and I know you are just as hurt as anyone else. And hearing the news of a 10-year-old dying by a bullet in the streets of the District of Columbia, we're all horrified by that. We're making a lot of progress in the case. We intend to not rest until the people that are responsible are held accountable for that. We've made some pretty decent progress in the case. And the only thing that I would say is hats off to the community, because they have been absolutely fantastic in bringing forward information to us.
Talk to me about how you're working to get people to talk to the police. It remains a really difficult issue.
Yeah, if you think about it, it's not the easiest thing to do for a lot of different reasons. It could be you're not particularly trustful of the police, and that's something, that we have a responsibility at the agency to work on to make sure that people trust us. But the other part of it, too, is coming forward in a criminal case it's going to require probably more effort than some folks would be interested in doing, because it may require that you spend some time talking to a detective. It may require that you spend some time in court. But I've always looked at that as kind of one of our responsibilities, as being a part of the community. Mm-hmm. If something bad happens and there's a victim of a crime, I think we all have an individual responsibility to come forward and say, hey, listen, I saw what happened. Here's what I know. And we're not going to tolerate this in our community.
You wanted to say something, Darius.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here shaking my head in agreeance. The end of the day, it's exactly what you're saying, Chief. We have to get back to that understanding that we all have a responsibility to work together, and understanding that we're all on the same team, and that includes the police department. Obviously, in any organization, there are bad apples and people make mistakes all the time. But I think I can proudly stand here as a Washingtonian and say that MPD has done an amazing job throughout the city of trying to put their best foot forward and set a shining example, not just for the people of Washington, but for the rest of the country.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're having a national night out conversation. What are you doing to make sure that your community is safer and more secure? Kiva, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Kiva. What's on your mind?
Hi. I just think that it's very important for us to start having more police officers who are from the actual communities that they are policing. I think that a lot of times we have officers who I'm in Clinton, but I grew up in D.C., and you'd have officers from Virginia or way out in Maryland somewhere come and police an area in the district, and you don't know anything real about that community.
Hmm. Okay.
I think she makes a good point. I kind of may be overspeaking for Chief here, but I know MPD has a bunch of job openings right now. So I always encourage our young people. We work with young people between the ages of 18 and 24 that have been involved in the juvenile justice system. And a lot of them.
Go ahead, Chief.
I was going to say, to dovetail on that conversation, a lot of folks don't know about our cadet program.
Yeah.
We've expanded our cadet program dramatically over the last couple of years. In fiscal year 19, to bring on another 30 cadets. And what cadets are these are people between the ages of 17 and 24 who live in Washington, D.C., have an interest in joining the police department. And what we do is we take them on. They earn a salary around $30,000 a year while they're working as a cadet. And we also pay for them to go to college at the University of District of Columbia to earn the college credits required to become a police officer. If they're able to get those 60 college credits, then they can matriculate it to become a police officer. So that's a program that the mayor has spearheaded for us. And I think that's the way that we attract young people in the district into the police department.
Okay, Kiva, thank you so much for your comment. Chief, there's something else I did want to ask you. Wanted to get another update. I'm sure you're familiar with the youth football coach, Andre Young, who was shot to death, I believe it was last week, in Southeast D.C. Is there some a new development in relation to that particular case involving D.C. police officers?
So, as you know, Andre was not only a football coach, but he was a sound man. A lot of the local groups here in Washington, D.C. is one of those guys, one of those guys that everybody know and everybody loved. And his life, to lose his life under the circumstances which he lost his life, which seems to be, someone who resorted to a firearm to resolve a dispute is the type of thing I'm talking about all the time. That's really kind of destroying our community. So there is some indication out there that I'm not completely comfortable with the way that matter was handled. We're going to do an investigation. I can't jump to conclusions at this point to suggest somebody did something wrong. But we're going to take a real close look to make sure that we were on top of our game for that case.
What can you tell me about the officers that were involved in that case, if anything, about their status?
Well, we have two folks, and whenever we conduct an investigation and we believe that there's misconduct, there's a potential that we place people in a non-contact status. And what that is, that they're removed from being police officers during the course of the investigation. When folks are placed on non-contact, there's no indication that they, to suggest that they did anything wrong. All it really indicates is that there is an investigation. We're going to look very closely, make sure that we did everything possible that we could in that particular case. And I'll have to wait to see how the investigation comes out to see if, we were in the right or we were in the wrong in that case.
Chief, I want to get back to the topic at hand. When you talk about safe communities and the advice that you give to people living in communities that are concerned, can you talk to me a little bit about the importance of the nosy neighbor?
I tell you what, it's the key to me, in my opinion.
I don't know if they allow nosy neighbors anymore.
They do. Go ahead, Chief.
If we're gonna live in a neighborhood, the police are not gonna solve all of our problems, and there's no way in the world a police officer can be on every street corner 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And not only is it impossible to do, but we don't want to live like that. I mean, this is supposed to be a free society where we can move about freely, but. I talked about being part of a community. If you develop relationships with your neighbors have to go out of town for a day or two, or that, they go to the grocery store at a particular time of day, or, whatever the case may be. Wouldn't it be really nice to know that your neighbors are watching your property while you're gone, and vice versa? There's so many people, you call them the nosy neighbors. There's so many people that I come across in this city that are doing just that. And I got to tell you, the communities where that is prevalent are the communities that have the least amount of crime in our city. It could be one block where the whole community knows each other. They're all looking out for each other. They're very communal. And when you see that, they're very successful in driving crime out of their neighborhoods.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Chief Newsom. I'd rather live in a community where I don't have to worry about somebody coming into my house when I go to the grocery store.
I mean, that does make perfect sense. And again, when I talk about my community, a lot of times, particularly if this is for people that are new to communities, if you go into a community, you don't have to look for very long. A day or two, but I've always looked for the guy or the woman who is always picking up trash in the community, mm-hmm. out of the gutter. It could be an older person, but it may not necessarily have to be. But to me, if someone is picking up trash, not just off of their front or in the gutter in front of their house, but maybe a few extra feet up the block, mm-hmm. that's the person that I want to get to know, because that person doesn't just care about what's happening directly in front of his or her house, but also what's happening up the block. Go ahead, Chief.
And there's so many people like that in Washington, D.C.
Yes, there are.
I've been policing here for coming up on 29 years in the District of Columbia, so I'm decades of policing, and there are so many people that fit that bill. They're so concerned about Washington, D.C., and I always, whenever I go to a meeting, I always like to reflect back on where we were and where we are today, and I think a large part of the reason why we're in a much better place in this city with regards to crime is because of people like that. You're absolutely right.
Chief, I do want to ask you some literal nuts and bolts about home security real quick before I go to a break. Can you give me just a couple of good nuggets for home security, whether it has to do with, you know, alarm systems, cameras, locks? What do you tell people?
I think the thing that has been the most beneficial in the last, say, 5 to 7 years for policing is the video camera. There's a rebate program here in the city where you can buy a camera for your program, and the city will reimburse you. I think it's for up to $500, and most of this equipment you can get for less than that. And I got to tell you, our ability to close cases has increased dramatically as a result of those images. And so it serves two purposes. If somebody comes onto your property or into your community, you know, and they do something wrong, we'll have them captured on video and we can hold them accountable. But the second piece is, too, I talked about a little bit about this, is that, you know, if everyone in the neighborhood has a camera, guess what? The criminal is going to figure that out pretty quickly and they're going to pick somewhere else to go. You know, a lot of times crime isn't rational, but they pick up pretty quick on the fact that whatever they're doing is being captured by a video camera.
Well, Chief, I'm going to take a break, but I want to thank you for spending some time with us and updating us on these cases, but also sharing this really critical information about National Night Out and beyond. And certainly we'll be talking to you soon. And as it relates to, of course, this weekend's activities, we certainly hope that you and the rank and file that are going to be around trying to keep the city safe during Unite the Right, that everybody is safe. So thank you again.
It's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to be on your program. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Chief.
Thanks, Chief.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, I have a couple of anecdotes about what you need to do to make sure that your community is safe. Get to know your neighbor and more. We'll be back in just a moment. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a few minutes. To the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about National Night Out, 35 years of trying to get communities to be safer, to be more secure, to be proactive in making sure that their neighborhoods are where you want to be. My guest, Darius Baxter, community activist and co-founder of Good Partners in D.C. We had a chance to hear from D.C. Police Chief Peter Newsham. And one of the things that Darius, he was, you know, talking about when I mentioned, the nosy neighbor. And that's one thing. That's one component of a community that I really think is incredibly important. But one of the other things, and I don't even like to mention, you know, this four-letter word right now in the middle of August, but when it snows.
Okay.
That is when you really meet your neighbors. Because...
Tell me more.
Yeah, because when you've had Snowmageddon, for example.
I remember that.
And situations like that, when people get snowed in, people come out because you've got to dig cars out. And a lot of times you can't do that on your own. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I found in my community when I first moved, because I live in Baltimore, I commute, but I live in a community which is like a miniature Upper 16th Street, older homes. The streets are not wide, and people park on the street. And I remember when we had that first, my first snowstorm, I think it was back in 2002, all the men in the community came out and we were helping everyone. I think I probably shoveled about three or four cars that day, mm-hmm. mine and then two or three or four other cars belonging to my neighbors. And that's when you had an opportunity to meet those people. You find out, you know, where they're from, how long they've been in the community, since I was the newcomer.
Who's got the sugar?
Right. Who's got the sugar? Who's got the flour? You know, who can cook and who can't cook and the whole bit. But you also, one of the conversations that you have is, you know, how long have you been here and have you had any problems? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's one of the key things. Have you had any issues in the neighborhood? Because I live in the city, I'm not just talking about, you know, animals, for example, but have you had any issues with, you know, people stealing? Mm-hmm. Trying to break in, suspicious characters, and then you get phone numbers, and you have an opportunity to go to community associations, because I don't have a homeowners association, and not everybody has that kind of situation where you may meet once a month at a homeowners situation, but community associations which have a tendency to be a lot bigger. The first thing that I see when I get that little flyer in my mailbox is a list of who's going to speak, and that often includes police. And I think that's one of the things that really brings a community together, whether it's helping to dig folks out in the snow, but it also gives you a sense of ownership, as you spoke about. But to the point about the work that you're doing in the community, how would you define being street smart related to making sure a community is secure?
Oh, that's a tough question, Harold. I want to say great cufflinks, by the way.
Thank you.
I wish you all could see these. Oh, beautiful, my man.
I keep my cufflinks safe and secure. But go ahead.
That is a tough question, because there's a lot of different ways that you can be street smart, per se. It really comes down to just knowing who's in your community. You know, when you think about urban communities as a whole, they get a bad connotation. It's like, okay, I walk down that block and everybody asks me, oh, who are you? Like, who's your grandmother? Like, start asking those questions, because these communities are so tight knit. And that is a reflection of communities as a whole, where you are smart by knowing who exists within your space, by knowing who your neighbor is, so that you don't have the instances where you hear on the media nowadays, there's all these popping ups of, oh, the police were called on a person for walking into their own house, mm-hmm. by their next door neighbor.
A lot of times the living while black kind of situation.
But see, yeah. that is something that is stemming from people not being as community oriented as they used to be. Why is somebody living two doors down from you not recognizing you as you're going into your house?
How about that? How about that? That makes so much sense.
And it used to be, I remember, I actually have my mom in the studio today. And I remember when we first moved into our house 10, 15 years ago, our next door neighbor came by with a basket of cookies and just said, hey, like, welcome to the neighborhood. And there's times where I've went down the street and shoveled out people's driveways that I didn't know. Or everybody knows the old lady on the street, and we go and mow her lawn a few times a year. You know, there was that sense of we're all in this together. And it was that sense of not just I should go meet my neighbor, but, you know, I have to go meet my neighbor because I never know when I may need them, and vice versa. And, you know, whether that's I'm going out of town for a few days and I need somebody to make sure my dog doesn't hop over the fence,
mm-hmm.
or, hey, I'm running late from work, can you run down the street to the school and go pick up my kids?
Yeah.
There was this sense of, and I'm speaking like I've been in farther times past, but I long for the days where we were all accountable for one another, when we were our brother and sister's keeper. Like, I live in an apartment building now, not too far from here, and I walked into a carryout, and I saw my next door neighbors, and I was like, hey, do you all want to share a meal together? Mm-hmm. And it was like the wildest thing in the world to them. Like
they looked at you as if you had three heads.
Like, what do you mean? I've never met you before. I'm exactly. That's why I want to have a meal together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and how do we get back to those times? And I think a lot of that does have to do with social media, where there's this sense of isolationism and I don't need any new friends because I have my 500 friends on Facebook.
Right.
And before it was, okay, your social groups and your social circles came from the people that you interacted with on a daily basis. A lot of them were the people that you worked with and the ones that you lived next to. So how do we get back to that as a people? I don't know. I can run up on Mark Zuckerberg, but.
Yeah. and ask that. But here's the thing, that even with social media, mm-hmm. there is the website, the app Nextdoor, mm-hmm. Nextdoor.com. And it is community based. It connects neighbors not only in your immediate community, but there is overlap. Mm-hmm. Even so, if you go to nextdoor.com and you sign on, and you immediately know what is happening in your community, you may run the risk of information overload, but in 2018, is there really such a thing now, particularly when it comes to safety and security in your community? So you definitely have that. But I think the other piece that you were talking about when you're talking about face to face, when we have porch pirates that are stealing deliveries, when, you know, UPS, FedEx, or even, you know, your friend drops off something that he or she borrowed from you, and they said, you can just leave it on the porch. If you're gone all day, it's always good to have a good neighbor that you can call, that you know will get home before you, or maybe in the neighborhood. I've got a lady who lives directly across the street. She runs a daycare.
But I'm old enough to remember her of the days where you didn't even have to call and ask your neighbor to do that.
Yeah.
Where your neighbor sees that a package is dropped off and they don't even second guess. Okay, I'm home. Let me be the person to go and pick it up. And then when I bring it to you later on in the afternoon, you don't look at me crazy because I said I took your package off your porch.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think you're right as it relates to that, you know, to that sense of community. And if you run the risk of, you know, over patrolling, I think your own neighborhood. If you know the people who are in your neighborhood, mm-hmm. and you see something that does sound a little strange, and here's a prime example, and this happened just last week. There was a lady parked in a Land Rover on my street. Attractive lady. She was just sitting there, window down, quiet.
Did you show her the cufflinks?
I didn't show her the cufflinks, but I did look at her, and I kept watching, and she was looking at my next-door neighbor's house. And I walked across the street to give something to the lady across the street. But then I called my next-door neighbor. I didn't call the police. Mm-hmm. I called my next-door neighbor, and because I had his phone number. We talk all the time.
Yeah.
And he was not home. And I said, hey, Brian, there's a lady out front. She's in a Land Rover, a short haircut, quiet. She's not doing anything, but she seems to be eyeing your house. And he said, oh, she's fine. He said, she's my lady friend's friend. And I think she was waiting for her. Mm-hmm. And she says, I don't know why she didn't just come and knock on the door and go in the house. That kind of situation prevents you from calling the police,
mm-hmm.
and in a Living While Black kind of situation. But you just call your neighbor if you just see a little something. And after he said that, I went on about my business. So, you know, I think that if we do more of that in protecting our neighborhoods, then they will be more safe and more secure. I want to thank you for coming on with us, Darius, and sharing your thoughts. We also want to thank DC Police Chief Peter Newsham. Also, Bowie Police Department Lieutenant Ernest Stanley for sharing with us as well. And for all of you, have a safe and secure national night out. And of course, we will see you tomorrow. That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, August 7th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.